This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Final hour of power coming up here on this Tuesday edition of the Burgundy and Gold. Today, you're tapped in to the youngest in charge, Hanel Willingham, taking you up to 7 o'clock. A loaded final hour of the program coming right at you. First, though, I want to thank our pal Logan Paulson for hopping on with us. If you missed any of my conversation with the former Redskins tight end, use the Odyssey Rewind feature and go back to about 5:30 to hear my conversation with Logan Paulson. It is a Tuesday edition of the Burgundy and Gold. Today, we do this. Normally we do this on Monday, but yesterday's show was short, so we had to bump it over to today. But on Fridays, you know, we always give our Super Six Pack. Me and Ant give our top six players that we're putting under the microscope who must play well heading into Sunday's contest. We now get to review the guys that were in our Super Six Pack, and we'll do that right now. Ant had three guys. I had five guys. Ant had five guys. I had three guys. Ant cheated the system. He went with two dudes. Talking about Sam Cosmi and Tyler Biadasz, and I cannot wait to get to your evaluation of how those two played because that wasn't very good. Number six, though, Ant's man, Southeast Sean, Marshawn Lattimore. I'm gonna say this about Lattimore, and I think me and you are probably two of the biggest Marshawn Lattimore fans we got here in this DC market. He wasn't very good on Sunday. And here's why I'll say that. The big plays that he gave up, you just can't. I'm tired of seeing him not turn his head around. The P.I., though, that he got called on in the end zone, that was hot garbage. Terrible call. Don't agree with it at all. But what do you think about, first of all, how do you think he played on Monday? And then let's revisit the conversation we were having with the callers. Are you moving him to safety? I'm not. There's no chance of hell I'm moving him to safety.
No, I'm not moving him to safety. I do understand what callers are saying, though, because as you get older as a DB, some people, like one of the McCourty brothers, they went from corner to playing safety.
We did it with D-Hall.
Yeah. So, like, that is a normal transition, but I think with Sean, the way he played anyway, I'm not going to say, like, he actually did play bad. He played bad, and the only reason he necessarily played bad is because it wasn't like he didn't have good coverage. It's more so just he's given up big plays in big moments kind of thing. Like the big play to George Pickens, that play came after the Commanders got a sack.
Yeah, I know.
Like it wasn't the first play. We got a sack the first play. They called timeout, and then they took a shot kind of thing. And you just got to know. I don't know why he was in man press. Like they got to get down the field kind of thing. So you give that up. The P.I. I think definitely was bogus. The second one was definitely P.I. And then you give up the catch to C.D. So – it is more so he's given up big plays in big moments. Yeah. Like, I think if you just look at, you know, him throughout the game, he probably played solid. But when they did decide to go after you, you weren't there to, you know, make the play. So I hate to say it, but, yeah, he played bad.
The numbers from Sunday in Dallas. Marshawn Lattimore played 51 defensive snaps, 4 tackles. He was targeted 8 times. That was the most out of all of Washington's DBs. Gave up 5 receptions. That was the most for 82 yards. And Dak Prescott had a 96.9 quarterback rating when targeting Marshawn Lattimore. If you all are just joining the program, Dan Quinn actually spoke about Marshawn Lattimore in particular yesterday when he addressed the media. And I want to let you all hear this again because it's rare that we've seen him go in depth about one player in particular. You all want to bench him. You all think he sucks. Here is what the head coach of the Commanders thinks about Marshon Lattimore and his play on Sunday.
Yeah, I thought the first PI at the end, you know, just playing back towards it, and he knows that. And I think it was might have been the first drive, Howard, to go. Like part of playing corner is, you know, like life outside, throwing the ball, you know, high and outside. And so knowing the right techniques and how to play that. But he'll get there, man. There's plenty of them that also went really good in that space too, Howard, for him. So this is not a one coach, one player, you know, meetings that we're on tonight. It's how to collectively do we do our thing better. And so that's what I've been digging in on hard. It's a challenge, but it's also fun as hell to go through to say, all right, how do we find us at our best and putting people in the right spots and digging in there as a coach and as the players too. You know, what more can they hit on to meet the standard that we've set for ourselves? So I kind of think of it as this big collective thing to say, all right, how are we going to do our parts better?
Marshon Lattimore, he mentioned not every snap was bad. He was targeted 8 times, only gave up 5 receptions. What they don't have in here is the penalty yards that he gave up, and I know that's a big part of what happened. We both agree the PI that they called in the end zone was totally garbage. I feel bad for Marshon. He was pretty forthcoming post-game talking about it, and I think he's a real G for never ducking the media, but he's got to play better in order for this defense to reach their ceiling.
And he said, you know, they're in good position. They just got to make plays on the ball. That's what we're not doing. We're not making no plays on the ball. And it's not just Marshon. It's everybody.
Yeah, point blank. The next guy on our Super Six Pack was Von Miller. And this was because we expected Dorrance Armstrong to be limited. D.A. only ends up playing 4 snaps and has now been lost for the year. I don't know what type of injury it is. We haven't gotten the details. But we know he's missed for the entirety of the year. Von Miller, though, looking at his numbers, he played 17 pass rush snaps on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys, and he registered 0.5 a sack. He had 4 quarterback pressures. That was second on the team behind Jacob Martin. How do you – first of all, I just don't think I felt his impact enough. I just didn't. It's hard for me to assess and judge Von Miller, and I give you credit because I think you have totally changed how I'm looking at him. He was brought in here to be a situational rusher, so the expectations have to be tempered to a certain degree. And really, when you think about why he was brought in, he was brought in to close out games. Washington hasn't had a game in which they've just led start to finish outside of Vegas and in Oakland. Vegas and in New York. So I don't know, man. I do know this, with Dorrance Armstrong being on the shelf, I don't want them to just put Von Miller as the defensive end opposite Jacob Martin. I have no confidence in his ability to play the run. I think he showed us against Bijan Robinson he ain't really too interested in tackling. Give me a grade for Von Miller through 7 weeks. And
I would probably give him like an ABC or you want
yeah, ABC.
PFF grade.
ABC. No. PFF's probably horrible to him.
I would say painfully average. I would say a CC plus. Nothing crazy. He is second on the team in sacks. He has 4 on the season. I would say C plus, B minus. Like, he ain't played horrible, but he ain't played great. So that's what I would say. C plus, B minus.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. I just don't know.
You give him like an F minus or something?
I'm not giving him an F minus. I think he's about a C plus. Yeah, he just hasn't made enough of an impact for me. And then I ding him for his inability to play the run. I am so curious, and we talked about this earlier, how they're going to deal with their pass rush situation. If they come out with Preston Smith, I'm tired of Preston's ass. Preston sucks, bro.
He had a solid PFF grade.
I don't.
No, you. Hey, look, now no one now you no... know, likes PFF's grades. My bad. I vividly remember you using PFF.
I know.
But
Preston just, the eye test, man. He probably just collecting that sack. He back at home. He got drafted here. I know he had a crib out here already. He probably cooling out here playing football. No, Von Miller has got to be better. And I think he is the guy who needs to step up the most in the absence of Dorrance Armstrong. It's Von Miller. You brought him here to be a situational rusher, but you also knew he was going to be a depth piece for you. You've now had attrition at the defensive end spot. Can my first ballot Hall of Fame guy step up, please? Is that me asking too much? I need more out of Von Miller. And the numbers on the year, as we know, are actually pretty good, right? 4 sacks, 2nd on the team. like the statistical impact is there. I need more of a down in, down out impact for Von Miller, especially with the absence of Dorrance Armstrong. Von Miller has got to be the guy in this Commanders front four that steps up and says, hey, I'm going to be the dude that eases this loss of our clear best pass rusher, Dorrance Armstrong. He comes in at number five in our Super Six pack. Number four was who Ant put on, oh, Lord, Zach Ertz. I told you what I thought about Ertz earlier. Zach Ertz's ass was terrible on Sunday, man. Not just from a drop pass standpoint either. He had, what is it, two or three drops, Ant? I think I'm going to give him credit for two. The one on the sideline, definitely his fault. And then he had a joint where Jaden threw a seed to him, bro. Split two defenders, hit him right in the hands, and Ertz just dropped it. His blocking, though, for me, is what really has killed me. And this is where it gets dangerous, because I never want to call out a grown man's effort. But I don't know how much effort he's giving as a run blocker, bro. It's just not good enough. On the Jaden Daniels failed two-point conversion, clearly it's Zach Ertz not holding his block long enough. There are other run plays throughout the course of the game where Zach Ertz is just not holding the point of attack. Why do you think Ben Sinnott and Colson Yankoff are playing so much? Because Zach Ertz cannot block. So then I go back and ask this question. You, Adam Peters, decided to bring him back here. Last year, I will say he gave much better effort as a blocker. And I know it's feels like a long time ago, but it didn't feel like I was seeing as many blown blocks last year as I am seeing this year with him. And then you add on the drops. He's supposed to be your most reliable pass-catching target. He can't drop the football. The Commanders lead the NFL in drop passes coming out of Week 7.
Yeah, definitely the drop passes don't help, you know, his performance on Sunday. Again, last year he was Jaden's guy on third down.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, not helping sustain drives as he did last year. That guy was, you know, his security blanket, and I can't necessarily say he's been that guy for us this year. He did have a slow start to the season.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the last couple of weeks he'd come on a little stronger, but we need him to be a little bit more consistent, and I think that's the problem we're having with, you know, Zach Ertz. He's just not being who he's been throughout his career, where he's been that consistent guy. And it maybe is, you know, his age. We don't know.
So I will say this. Zach Ertz, the second most targeted Commander on the team behind Deebo Samuel. He's got the second most yards, and he's got the most touchdowns with four. It's just hard because I'm willing to agree with what you said. And like, yeah, it hadn't been enough as a blocker, but and it hadn't been enough consistency, rather, as a pass catcher. But, like, you can't argue with his numbers. It's kind of hard to argue with him. I want more from him. Is that asking too much? I don't think it is. Number three in Nell's Super Six Pack, Jalen Lane. I actually thought outside of the drop, he was pretty good. Had another big-time chunk play. I think he's getting better as a outside wide receiver. I think his releases are getting better. I think his route running nuance is getting better as well. I think he needs more snaps moving forward. I think he was pretty good on Sunday, man. I know the drop, though. It's hard for me to say he was pretty good when he had a drop. I also think, actually, never mind. I got to ding him. Two big mistakes from Jalen Lane. He had to drop, and then on an incompletion outside the numbers, he did not get to the landmark, and it made Jaden look like he underthrew the football or was inaccurate. Wasn't the case at all. And then I saw Bobby Engram actually chew him out on the sidelines. So maybe he was good. He had the big catch. It curves the grade, but, like, he needs more consistency if he wants to get more snaps. Can't not hit your landmark, point blank.
No, I would agree. Definitely want more out of Lane. Also, I want more opportunities from down the field.
I do too.
I would love to see us take more deep shots with him down the field.
He gets a lot of credit for even having the football IQ to know that, hey, I'm in the scramble drill. Let me continue to move and not stay stagnant as they try to plaster me. Number two, Ant went with Sam Cosmi, but he was going to go with Tyler Biadasz if it was not Cosmi playing. They both played. They both sucked. If I'm being honest. In the run game in particular, man, there was one play I actually posted it on YouTube. I posted it on my social media as well. Solomon Thomas swim moves him bad, and it blows up a run for Bill Merritt. Ends up in a two-yard loss, all because Sam Cosmi got swam over the top. Tyler Biadasz on the interior, if we're going to talk about both of them. I thought they both struggled as run blockers. I think the whole interior offensive line did. Oso Digizuwa, Solomon Thomas, Kenny Clark had their way all afternoon long. As pass blockers, though, I thought Cosmi and Biadasz were actually pretty good. I don't know what their PFF pass blocking grade was for the afternoon, That's on me for not getting that for you all, but I thought, and hopefully you trust me, my eye test, and I've watched the game over three times now to this point, pass blockers, they were pretty good. As run blockers, terrible, pretty much. And we expected that.
Yeah, I was going to agree with you. I think as run blockers, and it wasn't just them on the offensive line that struggled run
Chris Paul blocking. Had some MAs. Yeah,
everybody did. But, yeah, pass pro, he actually did a good job.
He did.
He only gave up two pressures, which is solid. So that would be my only gripe with Cosme and his return, the run blocking.
Yeah.
And I think you and Doc, you know, you were like, oh, and guess what? We're getting the big bully back. And he goes out there, lays a goose egg. Granted, it was against, you know, some highly respected run blockers. I mean, run defenders. But still, if you want to be coined as one of the best run blockers in the NFL, then you got to go out there and put on.
We'll wrap it up quickly here with Mike Savers. Still, we talked about him a lot earlier. He only plays 66% of the snaps. You saw more Jonathan Jones. If we were making any personnel moves, like we mentioned earlier, and I think I am trying to get Noah Igbinoghene and Jonathan Jones in that cornerback rotation. I'm not costing Trey Amos snaps, though. I think he's been clearly your best corner. Do you think Mikey Samuels still is regressing, or is this just the byproduct of him playing a pretty much new position here in year two?
I think it's the latter for sure. Yeah. Last year he got off to a slow start doing it. And then this year, granted, it has been 7 weeks. So, you know, we have a bigger sample size. But we also might just be seeing, like, slot corner in the NFL might not be for Mikey.
Yeah, might not be. That's the Super Six Pack. We'll get to my power rankings edition of the Super Six Pack coming up on the other side of the break. My top six teams in the NFL, a juicy list this week around. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have Wawa.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
One briefcase. One moment. Could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
All right. I am totally out of breath. I just ran around the building to find my charger. My phone's on 4%. And in order to give the new installment of the Super Six Pack, I got to have my phone. They got some key information on here. Whew. Man, half hour left to go on the show. We just went through our Super Six Pack of the Commanders we put under the microscope. I now want to bring the committee in. The most highly anticipated power ranking segment and all of sports talk radio. Top six teams in the NFL, plus our three almost but not good enough teams. Me and the committee, we were saying it this week as we were putting this list together. We're at a real interesting spot right now in the National Football League. There is a lot of parity. I don't think there's a clear-cut best team. I think there are several teams that deserve that, you know, unique distinction, but we'll see what we get to. Right now, it is time Fresnel Super Six Pack, my top six teams in the NFL heading into week 8. The three teams that are almost but not good enough to make Nell's Super Six Pack, two from the NFC, one from the AFC, and I think you've already peeked at the list, so I know I'm not surprising you with any of this.
I have not.
Oh, you haven't? The Buffalo Bills come in as almost but not good enough. The Buffalo Bills with a record of what? 4-2, and when I look at Buffalo, the big reason why I say, nah, I can't put them in the Super Six Pack, their run defense is hot garbage. Not good at all. Bad. Horrible. They have given up the most rushing yards per game in the National Football League. The last time that I checked as I was putting this list together, and I know we had Monday Night Football last night, so I don't know how the numbers have changed since then, But the Bills' run defense is not very good. It's the biggest reason why I don't have them in the Super Six-pack. I know Josh Allen is one of those quarterbacks that consistently give your team an opportunity to be in that conversation. I think they're almost, but not good enough to be a Super Six-pack team. My second almost, but not good enough team is the Tampa Bay Bucs. Last night, they put forth a valiant effort. They lost Mike Evans to a broken collarbone. They're down Bucky Irvin. They're dealing with injuries all over the place, but it doesn't stop them from competing on a week-in, week-out basis. I thought Todd Bowles actually called a pretty damn good game last night. Jahmyr Gibbs is just too much, bro. Jahmyr Gibbs is like that. The Lions are like that. They may be in the Super Six-pack. Who knows? But the Bucs, man, look, they're 5-2. It ain't really too much trash you could talk about this Tampa Bay Bucs team, man. Baker's still playing good ball. Emeka Egbuka's still doing his thing. Yaya Diaby still harassing quarterbacks. I just think they got to get healthy, man. The Bucs are going to be in this conversation all year long of being in that Super Bowl contender category, and I think they're legit. I had a really hard time not putting this team on the list, and they were the closest team to being number six on this list, Ant. I'm all in on the Seahawks, bro. Sam Darnold is hooping right now. It's the best way that I can describe it. Playing on time, the ball comes out of his hands, and then what I noticed last night when watching him, and this is against Derek Stingley and company, y'all. This Houston defense ain't no joke. They put up 27. That was the most points they had given up all year. Seattle's no joke, man. They're not to be messed with. Sam Darnold last night, the accuracy, the ball placement, and I know last night was one of the better rushing performances we had seen from the Seahawks all year long, but he has been doing this with a virtually one-dimensional offense. And that Jaxon Smith-Njigba, boy. I mean, all Shawty does is get open and make contested tough catches. He is the real deal. He comes from that wide receiver factory that is Ohio State. Seattle's defense is legit, too. Their pass rush going to get after you. With Ernest Jones and Byron Murphy, Leonard Williams, DeMarcus Lawrence, Nwosu. Like, they got dudes up front, man. I don't know if we're going to beat them when we host them on Sunday Night Football. I don't know how confident I am in that one. But I do like Seattle. They were the closest team to making the Super Six-pack. They didn't. Number six, Inel Super Six-Pack, my top six teams in the NFL, making their debut in Inel Super Six-Pack, Drake May and the New England Patriots. I am all in on the Pats. I am officially drinking the New England Patriots Kool-Aid, man. They get it done. They get it done. Defensively, they're ranked 11th in the NFL in terms of yards per game. Offensively, they've continued to be one of the better groups. Drake May is playing as good a quarterback as anybody right now. The one concern, I guess, that I would have with the New England Patriots here moving forward, the one issue that they've kind of had is their pass defense. Now, Christian Gonzalez has been in and out of the lineup. Jack Jones has played good ball at times. I think that's the one issue with them is defense and their pass defense in particular. The other thing is this when it comes to the Patriots. They've got 18 sacks on the year. They're getting after the quarterback at a pretty high rate. Harold Landry's playing good ball. I just wonder, when it comes to the Patriots, the only thing I'm knocking them for is resume. They don't really have that signature win on the year. It's Buffalo. That is their signature win. But outside of that, the only other time they played a team with a winning record was Pittsburgh, and they lost that game. It was super sloppy, turned the football over a bunch of different times. But they're going to make their debut because I think Drake May's playing good ball. Their next three really going to tell us how serious they are. Cleveland, Atlanta, Tampa. You got to go 3-0. Point blank, period. They come in at number six, though, in the Super Six Pack. Number five in the Super Six Pack, my top six teams in the NFL. Another 5-2 team. The LA Rams. They did it this past weekend without Puka Nacua. They went across the pond and spanked that ass of the Jacksonville Jaguars, man. Jack's defense that was really good, right? Five touchdowns for Matthew Stafford, hat trick for Davante Adams. I love everything about this Rams team. I love this Rams defense in terms of their pass defense, one of the better ones in the NFL. They're getting after opposing teams' quarterbacks. They're a group that honestly, like to me, and I know this may sound like I'm hyperbolizing it, I'm gassing them up, whatever. They're second in the NFL in sacks. Their offense is legit. They run the ball. They throw the ball. Is there a weakness in the LA Rams? I don't think there is. I don't think there is. I look at this as one of the most complete teams in the National Football League, and when we're having this conversation of who is the best in the NFC, I don't think you can rattle off too many teams before you get to the Rams. They come in at number five. Number four in Nell's Super Six Pack, my top six teams in the NFL, their highest ranking to date, the Indianapolis Colts. Once again, this past weekend, the Colts said, you know what? We're going to go out and put together a signature win. That's what this was for the Colts. This was their signature win of the season. A lot of people super high on the Chargers. I know they're dealing with some attrition along their offensive line. But this is one of those games where you establish yourselves as being the real deal. Jonathan Taylor, if Baker Mayfield's not the MVP, I think Jonathan Taylor is. If Daniel Jones isn't going to be considered the MVP, I think Jonathan Taylor is, man. He continues to get it done. Tyler Warren continuing to make big plays as a pass catcher. I love everything about the Colts, including their defense. And they're nicked up on the defensive side of the football, right? They're dealing with issues, right? DeForest Buckner's going to show up, though, week in and week out. I know that for sure, right? I know Nick Cross is going to show up week in and week out. I know that for sure. I know Zaire Franklin going to show up week in and week out. Leitu Latu getting after the quarterback. They got some dudes, man. I'm willing to call the Colts the second best team in the AFC right now. That is where I am at with the Indianapolis Colts. I've seen enough. Their signature win was this past weekend. Daniel Jones and the Shane Steichen offense, man, is getting it done. I love the Colts. Number three in Nell's Super Six Pack, top six teams in the NFL. A team that we saw last night, the Detroit Lions continuing to get it done. For all of the fans out there that are crying and moaning and groaning about Washington and the attrition that they're dealing with, can I show you the Detroit Lions? No Avante Maddox, no Kirby Joseph, no Terrion Arnold. Rock Ya-Sin gets injured. Zach Cunningham gets injured. Daniel Thomas was injured earlier in the season. Malcolm Rodriguez at linebacker, injured. Yet they continue to flat out ball defensively. The effort they put forth last night was their best of the season. They held the Tampa Bay Bucs to 9 points. Do y'all realize how good Tampa has been this year offensively? Detroit, down a bunch of Bammas on defense, held them to 9 points. And if you're wondering, well, just how good are the Bucs on the offensive side of the football in L? Well, they're one of the top teams in terms of yards per game. They're one of the top teams in terms of points per game coming in at 13th. They're balanced. They're everything you want. Baker Mayfield playing the quarterback position as well as anybody. Yet, a injured Lions team held them to 9 points. Shout out to Kelvin Shepard, the defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. He is going to get head coach interviews. Maybe not this offseason cycle, but next year for sure. Number two in Nell's Super Six Pack is the Philadelphia Eagles. Jalen Hurts, the passenger, as I like to call him, played his ass off this past weekend. I had my doubts and reservations about how that offense would respond against Brian Flores and that madman on defense. They blitz you. They get after you. Their run game still sucks. Saquon Barkley held to 44 yards, but Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown went Kanye crazy. Those two combined for, 13 catches and then over 200 yards receiving. They were awesome. For the Philadelphia Eagles. And then Jalen Hurts, 19-23, dog. He played his ass off. It was a tremendous performance from him. Number one in Nell's Super Six Pack is the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they're back. I think they're back. I think they're back. I think they're back. Signature win the week before against Detroit, and then they said, you know what? We're not done. We're going to go beat the hell out of the Raiders as well. 31-0 performance. They got Rashee Rice back. He found the end zone. I know they lost Omar Norman Lott, the Hellraiser in the middle of their defense from the University of Tennessee. He's lost for the season with an ACL. If there's one issue with them, it would be replacing him. He's been really good on the year. I look at the Chiefs as a team that looks like they're going to be in Santa Clara representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. They're back. They're legit. That's going to do it, though, for Nell's Super Six Pack. Real quick, 6-1, Patriots 6, Rams 5, Colts 4, Lions 3, Eagles 2, Chiefs 1. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, couple of more housekeeping notes to get to before we end the show. To close out the show, we will preview opening night in the NBA, plus talk a little bit about the Wizards. But when we come back, we'll go around the NFL. The Vikings announced their starting quarterback for this week. The NFC East looks as competitive as ever. And then we'll play contender or pretender with 11 two-loss teams in the NFL. That is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
301-230-0980 is the number. Here on a Tuesday edition of the Burgundy and Gold today, about 20 minutes left to go on the program. If you missed any of it, Ant's got the podcast up for you coming up immediately following the conclusion of this show. The DOC, Rick Doc Walker, going to be back with you tomorrow. And before we get into around the NFL conversation, any gripes with my Super Six Pack? I put the Patriots at 6. If there's one thing that I'm like, okay, how are people supposed to take this list serious if you're putting the Patriots at 6 over the Bills, the Bucks, and the Seahawks, and the Niners for that matter? I don't know, man. I just think the Patriots are trending in the right direction. I like their quarterback better than Seattle's, and I like their defense better than Buffalo's, and they're more healthy than Tampa.
Personally, I would have the Rams above the Lions.
Really? You think the Rams are better than the Lions?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I mean, their losses, the Rams shouldn't have lost the games that they lost.
Point blank. They shouldn't have lost to Philly.
They shouldn't have lost either one.
Yeah.
Or San Fran. And then, so I would go, I wouldn't have the Chiefs 1. Granted, I would probably have them 2, to be honest.
Who would you have 1, the Rams?
The Colts. And maybe I'm biased.
I think you're a little biased. Their resume doesn't stack up against
their offense.
Is elite.
Dude.
But
they are in some rare era.
With what they're doing.
With what they're doing. Like defensively, and the thing is, defensively, they're banged up a little bit. Like Kenny Moore just came back. Charvarius Ward, he's out because of the concussion thing. But when they get their CB1 back, then you have Kenny inside, you got Cam Bynum at the safety making plays.
My question is, are you sure you're going to get him back?
Leading the,
Are you sure you're going to get Charvarius back? He's got a concussion problem.
Yeah, I mean, that concussion that he got in warmups was crazy. But I would have the Colts 1. I would have the Eagles 2. I would have the Rams 3, Chiefs 4, Lions 5, Patriots 6.
So you do think the Patriots are one of the best 6 teams?
The Patriots are scary. And to be honest,
that quarterback's only getting better.
If it wasn't the Patriots, I would probably have the Bucks. The Bucks
over Seattle?
They've been ravaged.
I know.
By injury.
I know.
And Baker Mayfield, you know, he's doing what he's doing, though. He's in the MVP race for a reason.
So was Sam Darnold, though. I'm slinging Sammy Darnold. All I could think about,
I just didn't like the sack fumble that he did yesterday. Like, come on, dude.
You got to be smart.
That's been throughout his career.
Just dumb plays.
When his back is against that red zone, that end zone, he's going to do something dumb.
Dan Orlovsky style. We're about to talk about the Vikings quarterback situation. Kevin O'Connell naming Carson Wentz the starter for their game coming up
Thursday
here this weekend.
The
Thursday against the Chargers. That's an ugly Thursday night game, by the way. How did we land on that?
Why are you asking me?
I don't know. I thought you were into those type of things.
But, look, Thursday night football, man.
It's been a treat every week, you know?
Yeah, it's been weird. That's what it's been.
Except for our game. We've had the worst Thursday night game all year.
Yeah, that one sucked.
Which is crazy.
It was boring.
I am expecting a good one. I don't know if the Chargers are going to get Joe Alt back for that one. I know he was close to giving it a go this past weekend. But for Minnesota, man, first of all, I watched damn near Eagles and Vikings wall-to-wall as we were at Honor Brewing out in Sterling, myself and Denton Day. Speaking of that, coming up Monday night, we're out at Honor Brewing in Fairfax. If you're looking for a place to come watch the game, join me and Denton Day for the Burgundy and Gold pregame show. But for Minnesota, you got to feel like a dumbass. You could have had Aaron Rodgers. You could have had Sam Darnold. You could have made a play for Kirk Cousins. The quarterback position is single-handedly holding the Vikings back right now. They just need a game manager. That's it. Do you call Russell Wilson if you're Minnesota? Because Carson did that dumb Carson stuff this past week, throwing interceptions, taking bad sacks. He had a scramble on a fourth down. I felt like, I had my fingers crossed. I didn't want him to die. He just looks uncomfortable. He's not an athlete. He's probably the worst quarterback I've ever seen in person.
He had a couple scrambles, actually.
He had a couple scrambles. He was getting jiggy out there.
Hey, but look, Justin Jefferson also has to go out there and make plays for him.
He's not putting the ball in position for Jay Jettis, bro.
Hey,
the ball is nowhere near him at times.
Who's the best wide receiver in the league? Because guess what? Jamar Chase would have caught that. That's all I'm saying.
If you want to say
Jettis, and Jettis said it after the game, like, that's more on me. Cooper DeJean didn't really do anything. That was more on me. Like, come on.
Yeah.
He allowed Cooper DeJean to get his hand in there, bobbling the ball.
Baby,
like, come on.
Baby 3 went crazy, though, boy. Jordan Addison's a mother lover. He may be the best wide. He's starting to really put himself in that best wide receiver 2 category. He is freaky running routes. Like, and I got a sweet spot for him in my heart because I know his folks. He's good people. They're going to be a problem to deal with, bro. They made Saquon and them couldn't run the ball at all, bro. Dudes was winning at the point of attack. And you know Flo going blitz. The Vikings, like, if they had a quarterback, bro, they would be a real legit threat in the NFC.
You said that about any team, though.
No, though. Them in particular. Like, if Carson Wentz doesn't screw up and throw 2 picks and, you know, have a fumble, which set him back, they beat Philadelphia on Sunday,
Well, you
man.
Shouldn't have got rid of
Sam Darnold.
Sammy.
It's a bad, and Sam is hooping right now for Seattle. I feel for JJ? Minnesota, man.
What do you do with JJ then?
With McCarthy?
Yeah.
I'm not starting this clock yet. I was saying it all offseason.
Think he needed 2 years to sit?
How do you look these veterans in the eye on this team and go, we're trying to give us the best chance to win and replicate our success from last year, but we're going to put out a green quarterback? He's green. That's his problem.
What about Michael Penix?
Different situation because Atlanta didn't go win 15 games last year.
But their backup quarterback was the one that did that. I mean, not the backup quarterback. The quarterback they allowed to walk out the door did that.
The Falcons also
were in playoff contention last year.
Yes, they were. For Minnesota, like, the quarterback position is their big problem. It's so much so that, like, I would pick up the phone, bro. I would be talking. I would be making a call to see, hey, like, can we potentially get Russ in here? Here's the thing. I know you don't just want to switch veteran quarterbacks and play musical chairs like that. So Kirk would be the guy. I know they don't want to pay Kirk. Their offense is nasty, bro. Trying to deal with Hockenson, Jettis, and Addison is tough, man. I really like this football team. I think their defense is good. The question is, like, will they get consistency at the quarterback play? Real quick, before we move on, are you going back to J.J. McCarthy at some point?
No.
You're just going to let him sit? I think Carson clearly gives him the best chance to win.
The only way I go back to J.J. is if Carson goes out there on Thursday Night Football and has an absolute stinker.
It just turns it over.
3 interceptions, yeah. Like, not seeing the field well and not moving the offense.
I think Khalil Mack will be back for Thursday Night Football.
He was back last week.
He was back last week.
That's that.
It's going to be interesting. It's a really tough game for them. I don't know who I'd pick. The NFC East looks as competitive as ever. Jackson Dart, Cam Scataboo should have had a big-time signature win on the road against Denver, but the football gods, I think, were on the side of the Broncos.
What is your take on Jackson Dart so far?
I think Cam Scataboo is the bigger reason why they're having success.
As long as we're on the same page, because everybody is Jackson Dart. He didn't really do anything against the Broncos.
Cam Scataboo is out there. He may not have a long career, but he's going to get it in while he's playing, bro.
Yeah.
They got him running people smooth.
For 4 years.
Yeah, bro. That's about it. When that rookie contract is up, he might as well retire. He's been the driving force to me behind the Giants. Their defense is playing well, too. Paulson Adebo's giving them good play in the back end. The pass rush, we know what they're capable of. The Cowboys, man, they get Jonathan Mingo back this week to play wide receiver 3. Whew. Had to sneeze. I think they're – are we the worst team right now in the NFC East?
Y'all go with this hyperbole, man. No. No, we're not.
Who are we better than, Dallas?
The Giants.
We better than the Giants?
They don't have a quarterback. Have to have a quarterback, dude.
Yeah. I'm glad that we're on the same page with Jackson Dart.
I would love for us to play the Giants again, and that's literally just force Jackson Dart to beat us. I would love to see that.
The way he's running around and scrambling, bro, he would cook our defense.
Again, I would love to see him beat us. I'm stacking the box.
He's got moxie.
I'm sending blitzes. We're not blitzing only 20% of the time. We're blitzing 60%, 70%.
Got to.
80% of the time.
Real quick, and I know you're probably biased on this. Who's the best team in the – second best team in the AFC? One, two, three, Colts.
You said the best team in the AFC?
Second best team.
Oh, second best team.
I'm giving it to Indianapolis at this point.
Okay.
I think Kansas City is the clear-cut best team.
Yeah, now they're fully stabbed. They're crazy.
I go Colts over Bills because I think Indy's got a legit defense. A legit defense. They're a team that, like, if I'm Indy, I'm a buyer at the deadline.
Yeah.
Like, I would try to go see if I can make a call for Denzel Ward. Or what do you think they need? Somebody in that back end to really solidify things? Because I think Leitu Latu's getting after the quarterback. I think Buckner's giving you good interior rush.
I think you will want another guy like Trey Hendrickson.
Another rusher? Like
I think
him that, in particular.
That, I mean.
The way your ears just perked up, you must know something, Slim.
Hey, look, I don't know
anything. The way your ears just perked up.
I don't know anything.
I'm a communications major. I read body language. That was incredible when you mentioned Trey Hendrickson.
I mean.
Your eyebrows went from the windows to the walls.
He played with Lou. Yes. He's a Lou guy.
It's a clear, it makes sense.
He's a Lou guy. He's a game record. Like,
and I don't think he's hurt right now either. I think he just don't want to play for that terrible ass team.
Yeah.
So. All right. Let's play contender or pretender real quick before we get to our opening night stuff. There are 11 two-loss teams in the National Football League right now. Ant, you're going to run through them all, and I will tell you whether I think they're a contender or a pretender.
All right, here we go. Starting off with the Patriots.
Mm. Gosh, I think they're a contender. I like Christian Gonzalez at corner. I think their pass rush is the only thing I'm looking at going, I need a little bit more from them. Offensively, I just think Pop Douglas, Diggs, Henderson, like they got weapons, and Drake May is just a dog. I believe in the Patriots as a legit contender in the AFC.
Okay, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Pretender, dog. After they let Joe Flacco ass go out there and carve him up last Thursday, I don't have much respect for Pittsburgh right now.
It wasn't just Joe, it's the run defense, too.
Joe, the run defense, Chase Brown went Kanye crazy. And this ain't the first time that their defense has gotten exposed this year. They got a lot of capital invested on that side of the football. It quite literally makes no sense why they suck on defense.
Yeah, it's bad. The Buffalo Bills.
Pretender. That defense is it's going to cost them. Their defense is too bad.
Okay. Broncos.
Contender because of their defense.
Bucks.
Pretender. I mean, contender, rather. I just think they got to get healthy.
Yeah, I agree. The Lions.
Contender.
Rams.
Contender.
49ers.
Pretender. Mm. Their schedule is cupcakes off. I do respect them, though, because they're overcoming the attrition, but I think they're a pretender.
Okay. Eagles.
Contender.
Seahawks.
Pretender.
You said pretender?
Pretender.
Why?
I just think the other shoe's going to drop for Sam Darnold at some point. He actually played one of his worst games of the season last night.
I mean, still that won. Houston defense is really good.
Yes, they are. And they still won. But they haven't got their run game going yet. And I just don't know how long you're going to be able to just ask him to drop back and beat teams.
You're right.
So pretender. And then the Bears. I mean,
the Chicago Bears.
They're interesting, bro. The Bears could be 6-2 the next time we look up. I think they're going to get the Ravens on Sunday. That's just an early prediction for you. I think Ravens can't stop their offense. And, that'll do it for contender or pretender when we come back. Opening night preview in the NBA. Plus, I'll give you a prediction on the Wizards. One final segment left to go. Opening night in the NBA is tonight. Super duper excited about that. Let's thank everybody first, and then we'll end on some NBA talk. I want to thank super producer Anthony Haney taking your calls today, getting the podcast up, doing the brilliant job he always does. Thank you to Logan Paulson for joining us. Thank you to your calls. As always, man, we've gotten plenty of good dialogue, plenty of new callers. We appreciate you continuing to chime in with you, man. It's very humbling. First time I've ever been in a long-term slot like this. You all continue to show love each and every day, so we appreciate you. The podcast is up and ready if you missed any portion of today's show. Real quick, Ant, let's have some fun on the way out. One, I think the Houston Rockets are going to the NBA Finals. I have concerns about their point guard spot. Ahmed Thompson getting the start tonight. Reese Shepard went crazy the other night. In the East, I think the New York Knicks are not going to come out. Give me Rockets and Sixers in the finals this year.
Rockets and Sixers in the finals? Oh, you bumped your head.
If the Sixers are healthy, bro, they're the best team.
I'm going Lakers.
You think the Lakers are going to the finals?
I'm going Lakers-Knicks. Finals wow. This year.
That's a LeBron James fan for you. You probably won't see Bron until my birthday.
And best believe Stephen A. will be at every one of those games.
Real quick, do you think the Washington Wizards show enough promise to get people back on board for next season this year?
I think we win 30 games.
30?
30.
For Anthony Haney, I'm Linnell Willingham. This has been a Tuesday edition of the Burgundy and Gold today. Don't drink whatever Anthony was drinking.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.